Thanks for joining us. It's our weekly news roundup on WCAI when we discuss some of the top news stories of the week with my colleagues in the print and digital media. Today, we're also talking about the ongoing story, which is the weather. Joining me here in the Woods Hole Studios, WCAI's Managing Director for Editorial and the host of The Point, Mindy Todd. Good morning, Mindy.
Good morning, Sean.
We're going to hear from Sean Gonsalves, a news columnist at the Cape Cod Times and Cape Cod Online, in just a moment. Also expected to join us a little later on the phone will be Josh Balling from Nantucket. He's the assistant editor at the Nantucket Inquirer and Mirror. Tim Wood will join us from Chatham. He's the editor of the Cape Cod Chronicle. From Provincetown, we'll hear from Sally Rose, the editor of the Provincetown Banner. And Mindy, we'll also have some weather specialists throughout the morning.
Exactly. We're going to talk about the news of the week, but we're also going to continue WCAI's coverage of this weather event. So we'll be talking to the journalists about the weather, but we'd also like to hear from listeners regarding what they're seeing and experiencing in your neighborhood. So give us a call, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Also, we've been following the storm on our website, capeandislands.org. And if you're wondering about cancellations, we've got a whole list of cancellations at Cape Cod, the Vineyard, Nantucket, the South Coast, links to lists of cancellations. But pretty much, there's not much open. So don't even bother.
No.
Don't even bother.
Sean Gonsalves is on the phone. Sean, you there?
I am. Yes, I am.
Good morning. You expected to join us from the newsroom of the Cape Cod Times on Main Street there in Hyannis, but
right,
because
which is about 5 minutes away from where I live, but no dice.
So you couldn't make it out of the driveway. What are you seeing and hearing in Hyannis right now?
Right now in Hyannis, from what I understand, I was able to talk to the newsroom. Thankfully, I do have electricity where I am. There's about a number of car strandings out there. So just another words of the wise of it's not very. It's not a good idea to go out and drive. It sounds like a few car strandings. What I'm hearing, it's very quiet out, at least in the Mid Cape area. And then the worst roads are the secondary roads. Like I live on a secondary road, and I haven't seen hide nor hair of a plow in hours or since last night. So the road, most of the secondary roads seem to be impassable unless you have a really good vehicle.
You know, it's interesting. I got up this morning and I looked out my window, and I guess the wind had blown most of the snow off of my car. So I called Dan this morning. I said, "Hey, it's not that bad." He said, "Mindy, it's bad."
Yes.
And then when I got out there and, you know, tried to get out of the driveway and started, right, yeah. Although I have to say, in Falmouth, the roads, the main roads are plowed pretty well.
There are some stark differences as you go from one community to the next in terms of how well they've been able to get ahead of the snow. And Falmouth, I think, has done pretty well. Yeah. But even in Falmouth, when you hit a spot where there aren't many trees next to the road, you have a big field there or whatever, then it can be whiteout conditions very, very quickly.
It's that wind, that blowing wind. And it's such a light snow. I was amazed that, you know, when I got into, I have four-wheel drive, but I actually got out of my driveway before I even engaged the four-wheel drive, which I was surprised. Had a tough time with the four-wheel drive getting up the driveway here, though.
Well, you make
light,
a good
light snow, which is also why I'm hearing that there haven't been a lot of power outages being reported.
Yeah, we just checked.
With the snow being light, it's not very heavy pulling down trees yet.
Exactly. Well, you know, we checked just the NSTAR power outage map and National Grid. A handful. I mean, there's hardly anything.
About 40 in Sandwich. That was
the highest
total. But just spotty here and there. So again, because that snow is pretty light, it's not hanging on the power lines like we've seen in the past, like last February.
Right. And it's going to snow for a little while longer. We're going to be talking to Frank O'Loughlin, a meteorologist with the county in a few minutes. He's in a meeting right now, but in about 10 minutes or so, he's going to give us an update on the forecast.
Sean, let's talk about one of the big stories of the week, and that is it concerns Joint Base Cape Cod, the military base here in this area of the Cape, Sandwich, Falmouth, Mashpee area. Looks like the Federal Aviation Administration is going to use Joint Base Cape Cod as a test site for drones.
That's right. But, you know, with the emergence of drones, you know, sort of coming out of the military now being eyed for commercial use, this is expected to be a multi-billion-dollar industry across the nation. And so the problem, of course, is how do you integrate drones into, you know, what's already a very busy commercial airspace? And so the FAA has been tasked to try to come up with a way to do that. And so they have to set up these various test sites. And six were chosen, and the Cape was one of the, or the Joint Base Cape Cod, I should say, was one of the facilities in collaboration with a lot of different groups, so to speak, will be the one of the first sites. And, you know, I guess the big news in terms of the Cape is the estimated jobs that they're talking about this could bring. They're talking about an estimated 1,000 new jobs and something like $385 million jolt to the Bay State economy over the next couple of years between 2015 and 2017.
So I understand the military isn't directly involved. As you said, it's a coalition of colleges and businesses and different state agencies that kind of got together with a group in New York to get this done. But since the announcement was made, we've heard some concerns about privacy.
Right, as you can imagine. And in fact, I wrote a column about that very thing. As these things are coming out, first of all, as it's supposed to be arranged anyway, the initial testing will be of some smaller drones, and they're supposed to be limited to the skies right above the base and I think along some of the coast. And then, you know, as time goes on, to work their way up to this A-10 jet-sized unmanned aerial vehicle. That's their technical name, UAV, unmanned aerial vehicle. But some of the privacy concerns, of course, are that these drones being equipped with cameras and listening devices, there's sort of the cool side of the technology and thinking about all of the possibilities of agricultural use, of, you know, delivering Amazon products, of,
sure,
you know, maybe going, reaching certain people in rescue areas and seeing the lay of the land in dangerous situations. The flip side, of course, is, as with all technology, it's often abused, and so there are a number of people, the ACLU being one group, of course, in the state, who are concerned about, you know, what, you know, this is sort of no man's land legally. There's no real guidelines other than, you know, the FAA has some guidelines, but as I tried to point out in my column, I had heard from Senator Ed Markey. Office. He's on the Transportation and Science and Commerce Committee in the Senate, and he's been calling for a Fourth Amendment of the 21st century. Huh. And so there's legislation at the state level that's looking to, for example, make sure that no drones are equipped with weapons, that there are certain law enforcement regulations in place in terms of what they can capture. But right. Senator Markey's point is that a sort of state-by-state approach really isn't the best way to do it. There ought to be federal legislation,
sure,
with some very specific guidelines in terms of what kind of data can be collected, how long it can be retained, et cetera.
Well, reporter George Brennan is all over this story, and he points out that other states have moved to put some regulations in place. We're going to go back. Sean, just stand by for a moment. We want to continue talking about the weather. Josh Balling is joining us from Nantucket. Josh is the assistant editor at the Nantucket Inquirer and Mirror and a regular on the News Roundup. Josh, tell us what's happening.
Well, right now, there's quite a bit of wind. The snow has largely tapered off. There's probably about 4 to 6 inches on the ground in spots, but some pretty big drifts, particularly in areas of open land. The wind is blowing it against buildings, and the driving is pretty hazardous out there. The Nantucket Police Department is advising anyone who doesn't have to drive to stay off the roads at this point. Let the plows and the sanders do their work. Most of the impact of the storm happened overnight while people were sleeping. There was about 2 or 3 inches of snow on the ground at dark, and then another 2 or 3 inches fell overnight. The roads are getting a little slick as the temperatures fall. No real erosion or flooding to report yet. That could happen around the noon high tide on Nantucket. If it does, most Nantucketers hunkering down, battening down the hatches, and enjoying a day off. A lot of town offices are closed actually for the day. A lot of businesses have delayed their openings or have closed as well. And out here on Nantucket, school was closed already anyway for the holiday break. Students weren't expected to go back until Monday, so there's no school closures to worry about, but the Nantucket Community Pool is closed as well as some other public facilities.
Hey, Josh, it's Mindy here. The erosion issue, that's I know a lot of people have been worried with the three high tides. We've got the third one coming up this morning. Any concerns that there's going to be some issues with this high tide this morning?
I think there's definitely some concerns, but we didn't see really much of any damage or significant erosion that we're aware of yet from the two previous high tides. We've lucked out so far. Obviously, anyone who follows the erosion issue out here on Nantucket knows on the island's east end on Baxter Road in the Sconset Bluff, there's a major erosion control project underway out there. We're going to be heading out there shortly to see what might be going on. They pulled all the equipment off the beach earlier this week in order to you know, to protect it from any storm. Yeah. But so far, no reports of any damage or destruction.
That's
to property.
Good news. We're going to hear some more about coastal erosion. We've got Greg Berman, who's the coastal process expert for Bonsorbuck County, out on the beaches now. We're going to check in with him a little later in the program and find out what happened on the Cape.
Right. And Josh, power outages, not many, if any, out there.
None. Zero outages that we're aware of out here on Nantucket. The winds were blowing steadily in the 30 to 40 mile an hour range. We heard of a couple gusts of 54 and 58, but you know, that's not completely unusual on Nantucket for a winter nor'easter.
Yep.
So we're used to that. It's the snow that we're not used to. We don't usually get 4 to 6 inches of snow on Nantucket, and when we do, it usually melts pretty quickly, turns to rain, and goes away. I don't necessarily know that that's going to happen this time. Temperatures are expected to stay low, drop even lower. We may see some snow on the island for a few days at least.
Yeah, then we'll get that rain on Sunday. I talked to Chuck Cotner, the director of Dukes County Emergency Management, before we went on the air, and pretty much similar thing on the Vineyard. They've got maybe 7 to 9 inches of snow, pretty much the same conditions that we're seeing at least in this end of the Cape, and no injuries, no power outages, same thing.
Okay. Josh Balling, the assistant editor of the Nantucket Inquirer and Mirror. Josh, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Sean Gonsalves, I want to talk about a story that we've been covering for 4 years, which is the NSTAR's plan to spray herbicides here on the Cape. Mm-hmm. Some people have been concerned about that briefly because they are worried about the water quality and those pesticides getting into the water. What's the latest on that?
Well, the latest is that the Cape delegation, legislative delegation, was able to meet with officials with the State Department of Agricultural Resources and convince them to extend the comment period from January 4th to February 18th. So that will at least push things forward a bit, at least allow for there to be some more space for opponents of the spraying who are concerned about what these chemicals may do to the water, the aquifer here on the Cape. So it essentially, I guess, kicks the can down the road a little bit, but of course that gives a little bit more wriggle room. Who knows? Maybe some opponents or legislative delegation can convince NSTAR to do something different.
NSTAR for 4 years took on a voluntary. What would we call it?
Voluntary ban.
Yeah, they didn't spray for 4 years in accordance with the wishes of I think all communities on Cape
That's
Cod
right. all
voted.
15 towns on the Cape that you know had non-binding referendums at their town meetings, and all of which you know passed saying you know please do not use this method where you're using herbicides to take care of the vegetation under the power lines. Do something else. Goats, cutting. Anything but putting chemicals into the ground.
Yeah, at one point they were talking about goats.
Yeah, I guess there was some liability with the goats.
Though. Oh, I understand. Yeah, well, residents are concerned, and so are some of the local officials and the state officials as well. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a moment with Sean Gonsalves from the Cape Cod Times. We're also going to hear from Frank O'Loughlin, a meteorologist with the Barnstable County Regional Emergency Committee.